Well, you have met our next guest before on Information Morning. His path in life has been what one might fairly describe as eclectic. He's been a U.S. Marine in Panama, a butcher in Detroit, a New York City cab driver, and a professional punk rocker. He's also a lecturer in international politics at CBU. But the career that's really shaped the latter part of his life is his role as a social activist and journalist covering conflict zones in South America, especially the drug war in Colombia. In that role, he has seen some horrible things. He's also been through some horrible things. We once interviewed him about the time he was kidnapped and held at gunpoint by FARC rebels. And it's those experiences that have brought him here today. He has a new book that was launched last night in Sydney. It's called Ghosts Within: Journeying Through PTSD. And just a heads up that some of the things we talk about later in the interview might be disturbing to some people. Gary Leach, welcome back to Information Morning.
Thank you.
I wonder if a good place to start is the place where you started the book, which is what you called the breakdown.
Yeah. November 2016, I was in Colombia. I actually wasn't working as a journalist. I was teaching a human rights and media course at a university in Cali, Colombia. And I was sitting in a bar the night before I was due to fly home. And all of a sudden, I just burst into tears. I was sitting by myself, and I don't know where the tears came from, and they're just streaming down my face, and I could not stop, and I paid my bill, got a cab back to the room, and just they wouldn't stop, and I was feeling completely emotionally disturbed like I'd never felt before, and managed to get home the next day crying most of it and crying for the next week, feeling like vulnerable and anxiety ridden. And that's when my partner Terry, she said that she thinks I got PTSD. And a week later, I went and saw a therapist, Todd Vassallo, here in Sydney. And yeah, that's when I found out I had PTSD.
Had that been like you before, like to burst spontaneously in uncontrollable tears and for that to continue for days?
No, never happened. I mean, I've cried occasionally, but I wasn't a crier. I mean, my father died and some major incidents like that. But no, I was always very controlled emotionally and very reserved emotionally. So it came out of the blue. It was shocking to me.
Can maybe tell us a bit about some of the ways that what ended up being your PTSD was manifesting itself in the early days before you knew what the heck was going on, because you experienced changes.
Yeah, for 4 years leading up to that breakdown, in hindsight, I now realize I had PTSD. For 4 years, though, Terry and I didn't know what was going on. I was starting to lose motivation. I stopped a lot of the work I was doing. I became more and more contracted, withdrawn. I wouldn't socialize with anyone. I didn't want Terry to have people over to the house. I was getting more and more irritable and angry. And I had a lot of physical illnesses, sinus problems, stomach problems, diarrhea, chronic fatigue. So I thought all of this was related to some physical illness, but it actually, those were the physical symptoms of my mental illness.
So for instance, tell us about some of the specific examples of what you were calling hypervigilance in the book. You were always...
Yeah, hypervigilance and hyperarousal. Hypervigilance is I'm on edge the whole time. I'm constantly paying attention to every little detail around me. If I'm out in public, I need my back to a wall. I was constantly on guard. And then hyperarousal is any sudden sound or anything that happens would trigger me, like Terry dropping a spoon in the kitchen if I was in the living room. And I would just instantly react, like, what the hell is that? And because to me, my heart would jump out of my chest and I'd instantly be irritable and angry. And what it was triggering past experiences. That kind of hypervigilance and hyperarousal is natural in a war zone where something is going to explode. But in a safe environment like home, it's dysfunctional. But to me, that spoon hitting a floor is the same response, triggers the same response as a hand grenade going off or a bomb going off.
So what's the physiology? You talked about some of the physical changes happening because you're of your disorder.
Physical changes in the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, normally, for example, if you're walking through the forest and you're just on a casual walk and you're in a local forest and you suddenly see a stick on the ground and you think it's a snake, you'll stop instantly, even jump back. And then you'll realize, oh, that's just a stick, not a snake. And you'll continue walking. You can't stop yourself stopping. And that's because the emotional part of the brain registers that stick as a potential threat, a snake. And the rational brain, it takes control from the rational brain, the reptilian brain does, and puts you in survival mode.
So first you go, oh my God, it's a snake, before you even register that. Yeah. And then you're like, no, it's a stick. It's okay.
Exactly. So yeah. Your reptilian brain registers it as a threat, so you freeze. And then the rational brain, when you realize that it's a stick, your rational brain takes back over. Now, you then process that as a false alarm and you go on with life. Someone with PTSD doesn't process the trauma. So the brain short circuits. So they are always seeing the snake. It's a snake. Everything's a snake. The spoon hitting the floor, a sudden movement, anything. They're always seeing the snake because they're stuck in that mode.
You're listening to Information Morning on CBC Cape Breton. We're at 92.1 FM in Sydney. You're listening to us in Inverness at 94.3 FM. Our guest this morning is Gary Leach. He is a journalist. He spent a lot of time in South America covering war and conflict zones. He's a lecturer at Cape Breton University, a past guest on Information Morning. We're talking to him about his experience with post-traumatic stress disorder. He's just written a new book, which is called Ghosts Within, Journeying Through PTSD, which is just being launched this week. So how low did you spiral?
The worst point was probably about the 6 months after my breakdown when I got home, and I would have spiraling episodes every couple of days, and they would last 2-3 hours, and it would just be intrusive memories. I had some flashbacks, but for me, intrusive memories were the worst. Memories of being held captive at gunpoint, of the bodies of massacre victims, stuff like this, legless landmine casualties. These images would just constantly barrage me. And at times, I would just start spiraling. The emotions that come with them would just cause my head to go crazy. I mean, the emotions are like anger and shame and guilt and everything and hopelessness. And I would just spiral down and down, couldn't stop these thoughts and images. And eventually the only way I figure I can stop them often would be to contemplate suicide. I even went as far as getting a Stanley knife out of my toolbox and bringing it into my bedroom. But I couldn't do that to my kids. I realized, luckily enough, every time this happened, I couldn't do that to my kids. And so then I'd go to self-harming. My form of self-harming was punching myself in the face or smashing my head against the wall. And self-harming, I later learned, isn't an attempt to hurt yourself. It's actually an attempt to alleviate the emotional pain that you can't control. And eventually, after self-harming and everything, usually after 2-3 hours, these spiraling episodes would eventually wind down.
Wow. I mean, and obviously in the book you describe, it says repercussions on your professional life, on your personal life. You retreated into what you called your man cave, the bedroom, for like 20 hours a day.
Yeah,
just barely making out to teach your course
once a week. For more than a year, I'd spend pretty much 20 hours a day in my bedroom.
The police had to be called at one point.
Yeah, one of those spiraling episodes got out of hand, and I was hitting myself in the head with a 5-pound barbell, and Terry called 911 and they took me to hospital.
Tell me about the therapy that eventually started bringing you on the road. You talked about your sessions with your initial therapist, Mr. Vassallo in Sydney, and then you got on to a therapy that's called EMDR.
Yeah.
So what is EMDR and what's the thinking behind it?
Yeah, eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. The idea is that you revisit the memories, but not necessarily like talk therapy where you have to talk about them. You're just thinking about them and the therapist is guiding you along. And the idea is that you think about them, you slowly become more desensitized to them, so they're not affecting you as much, and you reprocess them. You turn them into a positive memory rather than a negative. Like, for example, most people, when they think of PTSD, they think of war veterans. And interestingly, that's not the biggest group of people with PTSD. It's women who have been raped, suffered rape or sexual assault. So, for instance, a woman who has been raped in EMDR, instead of feeling guilt and shame, the idea is to reprocess that whole experience so that they feel like, no, I'm strong, I'm a survivor. So EMDR reprocesses the whole experience and gets the brain back to, like I was saying, so you start seeing the stick and not the snake.
Hmm.
So get it back so it's responding normally to everyday situations.
So if I may ask you, Gary, and this is with your permission, because we talked about it ahead of time, you said you're comfortable talking about what's in the book, and this was a pretty key turning point in your treatment when you addressed a situation when you were held captive by the military in El Salvador when you were very young, and you were in a situation where you witnessed indirectly a sexual assault. So can you tell me a bit, if you're comfortable, tell me a bit about that experience and how that related to some of the decisions that put you in harm's way later in life?
Yeah. When I was 20, 21, I was held captive in El Salvador by the Salvadoran military in an army prison there. And I had a female roommate who was a Nicaraguan who I didn't know. And three soldiers raped her. And that had a huge influence on me doing the journalism work I did later in Latin America. And I didn't discover until I did EMDR therapy that I had a lot of shame and guilt over her rape and the fact that I couldn't stop it and didn't even try. I had my thumbs tied behind my back and stuff. And so, yeah, part of the processing there was that I can't, I learned I wouldn't probably been able to stop it, even if I'd tried, and I was helpless against three soldiers. But that did lead me to doing my journalism work in Colombia, which then led me to many more traumatic experiences working in conflict zones. So my traumas kind of compounded each other and kept, so I ended up with what's called complex PTSD, where it's not one traumatic event that has impacted me, it's multiple.
You had said in the book that several times during your career, people told you you had a death wish for the situations you put yourself in, but you came to the conclusion that you didn't have a death wish. But what was your motivation for going back to those places over and over again?
Yeah. Sometimes I did wonder, do I have a death wish? But then I realized through therapy over the last year that no, what I was doing was reliving my El Salvador experience and trying to rewrite the ending. Because after I got out of El Salvador, I didn't do anything for years to help the situation in El Salvador, to the human rights situation, to bring attention to it and what U.S. tax dollars were funding down there, the brutal military. And so when I went into journalism, not realizing it at the time, I decided to do work in war zones like El Salvador was. And what I've realized in therapy is that I kept recreating that danger, that risk, so that this time when I got out of it, I could write about what was going on in Colombia and create awareness about what was happening. And it became kind of a pathological behavior that I didn't realize until my PTSD therapy.
You're trying to give yourself agency where you're stripped of your agency.
Exactly.
In that initial experience.
Yeah. And one of the worst things about PTSD is the sense of isolation, that no one understands what you're going through. Because in PTSD, everyone's heard those four letters, virtually everyone now, because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But very few people actually know what it's like or how it manifests itself. And that's why I wrote the book. And one of the horrible consequences of it is on the loved ones of people who have PTSD. I mean, for Terry and my sons, Owen and Morgan, they've been through hell with me in this, and it has huge impact on those who have to live with someone with PTSD.
Well, Gary, it was good of you to go through this experience and talk about these things that I know you've had a hard time talking about in the past. And congratulations on the book, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Gary Leach is a university lecturer at CBU and a drug war journalist. His new book is called Ghosts Within, Journeying Through PTSD. And by the way, I should mention that if you are in distress or have considered suicide, there are places to turn for support. There's the Mental Health Mobile Crisis Team in Nova Scotia, toll-free, 1-888-429-8167. The Kids Help Phone is another avenue. They're on the web, and they also have a texting service. And you can also visit the website suicideprevention.ca. The number again for the Mental Health Mobile Crisis Team in Nova Scotia is 1-888-429-8167.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.